was laying awake this morning about 4 o'clock, and so I added to the sermon. Have no fear, we'll be out on time. Luke 2, 25 through 35. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we come now and open your word. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would come move us just as it moved Simeon to recognize your truth. Lord, speak to us this day, we pray. Lord, we ask that we would hear your voice and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You know, there's been a running battle going on in this country for well over a decade about the place, the legality, and the appropriateness of any kind of display or expression of Christmas. It began as an attack upon religious displays or religious expressions of Christmas, but we've seen that escalate in recent years. These attacks have now taken on Christmas in any form. Some schools prohibit children from bringing candy canes to school. There are no such things in many schools as Christmas parties. There are certainly no expressions of Christmas carols, as we've sung this morning, in many schools or in public places. This has gone so far in some places that some municipalities, some schools prohibit the colors red and green. For example, if you have a holiday party, you can't have red and green napkins because those are Christmas colors. Some schools don't have Christmas break anymore. They have winter break. They can't have Christmas parties. They can't have Christmas plays. They can't have Christmas festivals. They have to be winter festivals, holiday parties. Some stores, some merchants forbid their employees to say Merry Christmas, even if the customer initiates the greeting. And I could go on, and I'm sure you're familiar with these things. But what we see here is a demeaning, a devaluing of the significance of Christmas. These people fail to see any significance in the birth of the Savior of the world. They see nothing strange at all about some of these requirements, where if you want to put a manger scene in, on public property, that you have to display other religious symbols around it. They don't see any strangeness in that at all. They are totally devoid of any understanding of any significance of what this holiday is about. Now, Simeon today is not one of those people. He is fully aware of the significance of what's coming, as we've read. But this is not just in our day, it's not just an attack upon religious understanding of Christmas. It's an understanding about anything that has to do with Christmas. Historical, cultural, secular expressions of Christmas are forbidden. We live in bad times, folks. This anti-God, anti-Christian society in which we live wants to extinguish anything that in any way might point anyone to Jesus Christ. Well, Simeon lived in bad times too. And the time in which Simeon lived in Israel was a bad time. They had been overtaken by a foreign government. They were under the dominion of Rome. They were ruled by a Roman puppet, the cruel King Herod. Their religion had deteriorated to just external observances. The legalistic scribes and Pharisees and the worldly Sadducees were the religious leaders of their day. And yet, in the middle of all this darkness and despair, there were godly men, and we should say women too. If you look down in verse 36, we see a woman named Anna who was also looking for the Messiah. But in the middle of this darkness and despair, these godly men and women were holding out an expectation, a longing for God's promised Messiah, the consolation of Israel. Now, Simeon was endowed with a rare and special privilege in that day. In some manner, the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is before Pentecost, I should remind you. In some way, Simeon was led and influenced by the Holy Spirit. And when it says in the text that he was looking for the consolation of Israel, that is just a standard rabbinic Judaism talk, for he was looking for the expectation of the fulfillment of the messianic hope. So we see in Simeon and Anna too a godly remnant within Israel. A godly remnant who are seeking the Lord and who are, quite frankly, heeding prophecy. Malachi 3:1 says, "Suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple." We sang that this morning in one of these songs. Suddenly the Lord will come to his temple. Where are they? Simeon and Anna are in the temple precincts, waiting, looking, and expecting the Lord to come. Now, they are examples of true piety. They are examples of real faith in a time of great spiritual darkness. Now, Simeon, the scripture doesn't say that he has any special office at all. We would call him a layman. But he has this lively messianic hope because the Holy Spirit is upon him. He recognizes, differently than the people of our day and differently than the people of his day, he recognizes the significance of the coming of the Lord. He is old, I guess we could say. Some people would debate that, but I think in his indication that he is ready to die probably indicates he is an old man. But his eyesight's probably not good. As you know, as you get older, your eyesight fails. But he has a very keen insight. His eyesight might be failing, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is able to discern in this little baby Jesus the hope of the world. And it's true today. If you understand the significance of Christmas at all, It's because of the Holy Spirit working in you. It's because the Holy Spirit has enlightened your heart to see what those around you can't see. And Simeon has a discerning eye. He sees in this young, poor woman, and we know she's poor by the sacrifice that she brings up there in verse 24. But more importantly, he sees in her child, this little baby who's wrapped in nothing better than clean rags. He sees in that baby the Savior of the world. The people around whom we live see nothing significant in Christmas. They see nothing strange about any representation of Jesus Christ being surrounded by all kind of pagan symbols, all kind of religious symbols that are nothing but pagan idolatry. And that, they think, is inclusive. That makes people feel good. But they fail to recognize the significance of what is here. Simeon, by reason, when he looked at this baby, what would possess him to think that this little baby, wrapped in rags, is the King of Israel, the Messiah, the Savior of the world? There are no trappings of power. There are no trappings of importance and influence. Here's a young woman who can't even bring the sacrifice. She has to bring the special sacrifice for poor people, for her baby. And yet Simeon sees through that. He sees beyond what he can see with his eyes and understand with his mind. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he sees and understands much more than what he could perceive by himself. He sees and understands that this is the Savior of the world. And this is what the people in our day fail to realize. They don't recognize in the things of Christmas the birth of the Savior of the world. They don't see any significance in that. They can't see beyond what they see with their eyes and what they know with their depraved minds. And we should add here that some people who celebrate Christmas can't see beyond the tinsel and the lights and the gifts and the parties and the food. Some of them can't see beyond that to the birth of the Savior of the world. All they see is the trappings. All they see is the outward expression. So we live among these people. Some want nothing to do with it. Some want a lot to do with it, but only with the externals. They don't recognize the significance of what we see, what we talk about at this time of year. And in his recognition of this child as the Messiah, Simeon communicates, he expresses here, as we've read verses 29 through 32, he expresses what the Scripture has to say concerning this child. In his enlightenment by the Holy Spirit, he is able to understand and apply the words of the prophets, his own words of prophecy, to this little baby in Mary's arms. The significance of what this child represents. And what are those things? What are the things that Simeon highlights for us here? Well, first, he says that he will be the Savior of all peoples. Our world is worried about Christmas being inclusive, that everybody should be included. And that, they say, is why they don't want any displays or any expressions of the Christ child, any expressions of a religious nature, because that would exclude some people. and they wouldn't feel a part of what's going on. But Simeon says that this child is the Savior of all peoples. That through this child, through the gospel, which he will preach, which he will live out, which he will die to secure this good news, as Simeon prophesies to his mother. This gospel will go out to every tribe and language and nation and people on the face of the earth. Now that is inclusive. Not by hiding Christ, but by sharing Christ with all the world. Simeon says that all these peoples, this salvation has been prepared in the sight of all people. You hear what he said? It's done in the sight of all people. This gives us a little indication of how we should proclaim, how we should celebrate Christmas, how we should celebrate the birth of this child in the sight of all people, that all people might hear this good news and come to a knowledge of God. That's how we should celebrate. Secondly, he says that he is a light for the Gentiles. We read this morning several different places that he is this light that has come. He is a light that has come, as we read this morning, to those who are in darkness. The whole world was in darkness. And God sent his light. He sent his Son to be the light and to be light for Gentiles. To a first century Jew, this is inclusiveness to the nth degree. The very idea that the consolation of Israel would be light for the Gentiles is almost unthinkable to a first century Jew. And yet, Simeon says, this baby, this one here in my arms is the glory of Israel, but he's also light for the Gentiles. He's probably drawing there on Isaiah 49 and verse 6. It says that Jesus, the Messiah, will be a light for the Gentiles and will bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That's inclusive. That's very inclusive. Well, thirdly, we should say that since Jesus Christ is the light of the world, that follows that all the world is in darkness. We read that this morning from the Old Testament. If Christ is the light of the world, men are in darkness. They're in sin, in bondage, and they are in this deep darkness. It also follows that since Christ is the light of the world, apart from Christ, you are still in darkness. Apart from this little baby that Simeon holds in his arms, apart from the Savior of the world here, you are in utter darkness and blindness and sin and death and the wrath of God and eternal damnation. That's where you are apart from Christ. And that is darkness. And Christ comes and brings light to those who are in that condition. The world doesn't want to hear that. Simeon says that will be a sign that will cause many to fall. Many will fall because of this. But this is reason enough for us not to worry about inclusiveness. The people around us are blind. They're in darkness. They need to have this light shone even more brightly upon them. They don't need it hidden away. They need to hear this. They need to see this. they need to see anything they can see that will point them to Christ. And yet they see no strangeness about denying the birth of the Savior of the world, and yet recognizing every pagan, idolatrous, religious symbol in the whole world as being equal with or somehow on the same level as Jesus Christ. They need this light desperately. They need it to come and to lighten their hearts. Simeon says that he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This is the revelation of God's truth. And that is only through Jesus Christ. I would also point out to you that, Simeon doesn't go and ask the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He doesn't go and ask the Roman governor or the Roman emperor about the proper way to announce what he has to say in the temple. I mean, after all, he is a citizen of a Roman province. This is the temple where the Sadducees and Pharisees are in charge. But he doesn't go and ask permission, does he? He publicly confesses before all that are there that this is the Savior of the world. I think this gives us an indication of how our confession should be, how we should proclaim Jesus Christ. And the world cannot stand this kind of preaching. The world cannot stand this kind of testimony. The world can't stand these kind of displays because they proclaim that Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the Savior of the world. That Christ is the light. That Christ is salvation for the ends of the earth. If that is true, their religious practice, their rituals, their self-centered self-righteousness are nothing. If what Simeon says is true, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if the significance of this child is exactly what he says, that he is the light and salvation, the joy, the peace for the whole world, then the salvation, the self-salvation that they engage in is nothing but a lie. And the more they see the light of the truth, the more they realize the lie. And they won't admit it to you, but it's in their heart. They know the truth. We must reject these people. We must reject their demands to cover up, to hide the true expression of Christmas. We must proclaim, as Simeon did, that this is the Savior of the world, and this alone. Only in Jesus Christ is there salvation. This is the spirit of Christmas. This is the spirit that led Simeon to ignore what he saw with his eyes, what he thought in his mind, and to see in that little baby wrapped in nothing better than rags, the hope of all mankind, the Savior of the world. That is the spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit, who moves and works where he wills, in whom he wills. And I must say, if you understand the significance of this at all, it's because the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart, as he was at work in Simeon's heart. When Simeon saw a poor woman with a little baby, how can that be the Savior of the world? That's not what he says. He said, "Lord, I'm happy now. I can leave. I have seen your salvation." He has seen the promise of the ages, the long-awaited Messiah. And he is ready to leave now because he has seen the fulfillment of God's promise for his people. We should add one other thing about Simeon. I'm sure there were people in the temple that day who thought he was a fool. I'm sure there were some people there who thought he was drunk. I'm sure there were some people there who thought he was senile because of his age. And they will think the same thing of you. You're some kind of fool. You believe all this stuff. That should not deter you. It should not deter you at all from doing what Simeon did, from publicly confessing that what we celebrate here, this little baby, the manger, all these things that the world doesn't even understand, that this is the Savior of the world, my Savior. That's what Simeon said. It's not only my Savior, it's a Savior of all who will believe. And that's what we should proclaim loudly in the public square, just as Simeon did. And we shouldn't worry about what they might say or do about us or to us, because if we know and understand that, we truly have the spirit of Christmas. We have the Holy Spirit enlightening our hearts. And if you don't understand what all the fuss is about, you need to cry out to God that He will send His Spirit and enlighten your heart. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You that Your promise is sure. Lord, that our salvation is secured through the entry into this world, the intrusion into humankind of the Savior, who, as we confess this morning, truly God and truly man, two natures in one person. And that person began life just as we, a little baby. But unlike we, he came without sin and lived a life without sin, that he would be the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sins. That he would go to the cross and atone for the sin of his people, for all peoples, from every tribe and language and nation and people, to all those who would believe. And Lord, help us this Christmas season, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us not to be silent, but to proclaim this glorious news to all. Lord, let us not be reticent or hesitant because of the bad times in which we live. But Lord, let us be like Simeon and proclaim your truth in the public square without apology, without hesitation, with a great joy and a great love in our heart for those who desperately need this light to shine in their hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.